And of course, as the donkeys walked towards us, we had to get off the path because there was only room for either one of us. And so I let the donkeys go by, and this oxen was so young and had a lovely skin coat, and it didn't have any horns, and as it went by I even stroked it because it looked so beautiful. But when the donkeys were going past my wife, and just as the moment when the oxen approached my wife, something strange happened. Maybe it was the color, maybe it was the movement, but you know, suddenly that oxen went wild. His eyes began to roll, his head turned from side to side, his feet began to stamp in the ground, and I could see this, and I was shouting to my wife, "Ellie, get out of the way, get out of the way." And at that moment, you know, the oxen turned round, and at full gallop, it went towards me. Now, I don't know if you've ever faced an oxen in Ethiopia in your life. There's only one thing you can do. You know, you should have done your praying beforehand, because you don't even have time to pray. There's only one thing you can do. You can't outrun it, because they run very fast. And God gave me the presence of mind to jump. And I just jumped into the bushes. And as I jumped, the oxen just brushed past me and went off in a cloud of dust. But you know, praise the Lord. Nobody was harmed. Nobody was hurt. We experienced God's protection in a wonderful way. And then for my wife, it was quite an excitement. We actually, after we looked at the Blue Nile Falls, we actually went across the river in one of these boats. You know, these boats out of bamboo. And it's these boats, you don't actually get into them, but you get on to them. And it was the only way you could cross the river. And my wife can't swim. So we had to hang on to each other as we were taken safely across the river. You see, what I'm saying to you this afternoon is, we both have such a great interest and love for Ethiopia, the land of history, the land of beauty and scenery, the land of mystery. And what I'm going to share with you from the Word of God this afternoon, some of it you will agree with and understand, some of it you will not be quite sure about, some of it maybe you think, well, is that right? Is he telling me the truth? I would just ask you really to pray about what God shows you this afternoon. Even if you don't agree, even if you don't understand, don't take it from me, but look into the Word of God. Examine the evidence. Look into the Scriptures. You know, it started with me, this adventure, many, many years ago. I was only a little boy of 6 or 7 years of age. And you know, like boys, you daydream, you have visions, your imagination runs wild with you, you know. And I remember one day, I had like a vision or a daydream, and it was of a beautiful country with mountains and with people I had never seen before in my life. And I remember running home to my mother and saying, "Where is this place? Where is this country? Where are these people?" And she said, "It's a fairy story. Such a country and such a place and such a people doesn't exist." But that impression, that vision was with me for many, many years. But then, you know, as you grow older, so many other things come into your heart, so many other new experiences, and you forget. Until my wife and I came to Lalibela. And I was walking up to the top of the mountain there, Ashet and Mariam, and those of you who know Lalibela, and if you don't, you should. It's one of the most special historical and holy places in all of Ethiopia. And I was going up to the mountain top of Ashet and Mariam, where you get such a panoramic view all around you. You have that sense as if you're at the dawn of creation. Suddenly the vision came back. Suddenly, after 20 years or more, the vision came back, and I knew this was the country. This was the place. This was the people. Now, I'm going to share with you from the Word of God about the destiny of Ethiopia. Does Ethiopia have a destiny? Ethiopia, one of the oldest civilizations in the world. Is there a future for Ethiopia? What is that future? Can you and I know what the future of Ethiopia is? Well, just before we turn to the Word of God, I want to assure you of this. Ethiopia, from the Word of God, does have in God's plans and purposes a future and a destiny. But I want to remind you this, the destiny of Ethiopia is connected with the Word of God. It's not outside the Word of God. Because there is so much in the history, in the culture, in the customs, in the practices, and in the beliefs of the people of Ethiopia, which today is contemporary with the Bible. Look at the names of your children. There's no other country in the world except Israel, which has so many biblical names. Whether it's Abraham or Ephraim or Solomon or Astia. So many biblical names you have. No other country in the world has that. Look at your practices. The only Christian nation in the world where you still keep the laws of Moses with clean and unclean meat. Look at your beliefs going back 3,000 years from the times of the Queen of Sheba and King Solomon. Look at the possibility that maybe, who knows, the Ark of the Covenant is in Ethiopia. Well, for certain we know that it disappeared. Maybe it's destroyed. But if it is anywhere, it's possibly in Ethiopia. Why does every Orthodox church in Ethiopia have a replica of the Ark of the Covenant? Why is it at Timkat that every Orthodox church brings out this replica of the Ark of the Covenant? Is this tradition? Is this legend? Or is this based on some amazing biblical experience and fact which we are yet fully to discover? Look at your language. The only language in Africa current today which is truly African. The Arabs and the Muslims, they speak Arabic, but Arabic doesn't come from Africa, it comes from Arabia. And their alphabet is Arabic. All the other nations of Africa, they have their own language, but what alphabet do they have? They have the alphabet which the Europeans introduced, but you know your alphabet. It's unique. It's very difficult, especially for Ferenc. But you're still using it. You know, I want to remind you of this. When I was in Israel, and I go to Israel many times, there's a historical museum in Israel about the Holocaust. And when you leave this museum, it's called Yad Vashem, there is a big painting, and these words are on it. It says, "Forgetfulness leads to exile, but remembrance is the key to redemption." And this afternoon, as I bring to your attention the destiny of Ethiopia, it's connected with the Bible. It is very much in the plans and purposes of God, but it is also very much linked, past, present, and future, with the people of Israel. Amos chapter 9 and verse 7. Are you children of Ethiopia? Are you not like the children of Israel? Nowhere else in the Bible does God compare the children of Ethiopia with the children of Israel. Look at your history going back to the Garden of Eden where one of the rivers flowed out into Ethiopia. Look at Moses who married an Ethiopian princess. Look at the Queen of Sheba who came up to visit King Solomon. Look when the gospel was preached to a man from Ethiopia who arrived in Jerusalem. And you know, he wasn't a pagan. Look at Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. This is no man who is bowing down to the stones and to the idols and to the moon and to the stars. This is a man who knows the Bible because it says he comes to Jerusalem to worship. He knows already the God of Israel. He's probably a Falasha. Yes, isn't it? He's reading the Bible when he's going home in his chariot. He's one of the most powerful people of Ethiopia. He's the Chancellor of the Exchequer. Have you ever met a poor Chancellor of the Exchequer? Look at the way his transportation is. It's first class. He's going in a chariot. Look at this amazing connection with Israel. the Ethiopian Jews who've been in Ethiopia going back 3,000 years ago. And in fact, most of the people of Gondar have some Jewish blood in them. In fact, most of the people of northern Ethiopia have some Jewish blood in them. Look at your language, Amharic, Tigrinya, Giz. It's all Hebrew. It's the Semitic language. You know, for 3,000 years, the Falashas prayed. The hungry go to food. The thirsty go to water. But I shall go to Jerusalem. And after 3,000 years, it's happened. And it was one of the greatest miracles of all the Jews to come back to the land of Israel. And they've come back from over 140 different countries. Never has there been such an exodus as of the Jews out of Ethiopia, either through Operation Moses in 1985 or Operation Solomon in 1991. The Israelis call Operation Solomon the miracle. God's miracle. Do you realize aviation history was created in Ethiopia at that time? Have you ever been in a jumbo jet? It takes about 400 people. You know what the Israelis did? At Bole Airport, they took all the seats out. And they put in mattresses. And they counted 1,087 men, women and children. Never before in the history of aviation have so many people got inside a jumbo jet. And 4.5 hours later, when this jumbo jet landed in Tel Aviv, they counted again, and there were 1,097 people, because 10 babies had been born in flight, including 2 sets of twins. These are miracles. Well, why does the Bible specifically speak about the destiny of Ethiopia? Turn with me, please, and this is very, very important, to Isaiah chapter 18. To Isaiah chapter 18. Now, I have to read with glasses, but there's a friend of mine in Ethiopia, Kez Azras. He's 94. His mind is still very active. He's getting a little bit weaker in body. He belongs to Beta Israel, the Falasha people from Gondar. He was one of their leading priests who at the Passover time, he would slay the Passover lamb. Do you realize that the Jews of Ethiopia were the only Jews in the world that have continued this practice at Passover to sacrifice completely the lamb? Jews around the world don't do that since the destruction of the temple 2,000 years ago. And then Kez Azras had a Damascus Road experience. He met the Lord Jesus Christ. He became a Christian. And he's 94 and he still loves Jesus. But you know, he can read without glasses. Isn't it amazing? 94 years of age. He gets up every morning at 2 o'clock and he prays for 2 or 3 hours. He has 500 relatives in Israel. Many of them are Christians. He's been to Israel a couple of times. I said to him, Kez Azras, don't you want to go and live in Israel? He said, you know, at my age, he said, you are still more in Ethiopia. And he said, your heart actually looks more towards heaven than towards Israel. Isaiah 18. Woe to the land shadowing with wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, that sends ambassadors by the sea, even in vessels of bulrushes, upon the water, saying, go ye swift messengers to a nation scattered and peeled, to a people terrible from the beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden down, whose land the rivers have divided. All you inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth, see when he lifts up an ensign on the mountains and when he blows a trumpet, listen. For so the Lord said unto me, I will take my rest and I will consider in my dwelling place like a clear heat upon herbs and like a cloud of dew in the heat of harvest. For before the harvest, when the bud is perfect and the sour grape is ripening in the flower, he shall both cut off the sprigs with pruning hooks and take away and cut down the branches. They shall be left together unto the fowls of the mountains and to the beasts of the earth. And the fowls shall summer upon them, and all the beasts of the earth shall winter upon them. In that time shall the present be brought unto the Lord of hosts, of a people scattered and peeled, and from a people terrible from their beginning hitherto, a nation meted out and trodden under whose foot, where the lands, where the rivers have been divided, to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts, in Mount Zion. Now this particular chapter, I hope you understand it in the Amharic or in the English, is an amazing chapter in the whole of the Word of God, because the prophecy concerns the destiny of Ethiopia. Now, this is the great difficulty throughout history to this present time. So many Bible scholars, and by Bible scholars I mean Jewish ones and Christian ones, have never been able to fully understand the meaning of this prophecy. There has been confusion, there has been disagreement, and they said, well, what does it mean? Who is this? What is this prophecy about? Is it about the past, the present, the future? Is it really about Ethiopia in the past, or Ethiopia in the present, or in the future? None of them agree. And yet, I'm told by Hebrew scholars that in the Hebrew language, this passage of Scripture is the most poetical and the most beautiful and the most moving in the whole of the Bible. Now, why is it that the Jewish scholars and the Christian scholars, especially in the West, do not understand what is written here? I'll tell you one reason. They've never been to Ethiopia. You see, I've read this many times, but it wasn't until I went to Ethiopia that as I saw the people and I saw the culture and I saw the Jewish influence, both of the fellowship people and within the Orthodox Church and in the daily life of the Ethiopians. You know, I don't think you realize how much Jewish influence you do have, but I'll tell you something. The Israelis, they love Ethiopia. The last Israeli ambassador here, who I met a couple of years ago here in London, he invited me to dinner, and I was with him, with Dr. Belli. Some of you remember him. You know, this Israeli ambassador said to us, I was born in Israel. I have served my country around the world. I was even a secretary in the Israeli embassy in Ethiopia. There's one place where I really feel at home. And he paused for a moment, and I thought he was going to say Israel, but he didn't. He said Ethiopia. Two rabbis were recently in Ethiopia. They traveled into the Gondar region, into the mountainous region, and they were just talking to themselves, and they looked at each other, you know, with a real question mark on their faces. This is amazing. This is unbelievable. There's more of the atmosphere of the Bible here in Ethiopia than in modern-day Israel. I was with a young Jewish man last year in Addis. He was a paratrooper. He'd come on an expedition in the Omo River Valley there. And he kept on saying to me, Gerald, if I shut my eyes, I'm in Jerusalem, not in Ethiopia. Even the way I can hear the neighbors and the people talking around me, their practices. It's a unique experience. Now, I don't know how it says in the Amharic Bible, but you see, this is the great misunderstanding of this chapter. In the English Bible, it says, woe to the land. What land is this? The land of Ethiopia. But actually, the Hebrew, which is hoy, does not always mean woe as in judgment. You have to look at the context of what comes after. And the context of this woe is not judgment upon the Ethiopians, but it's judgment upon the enemies of Ethiopia. And really, in the Hebrew, this word woe can be translated not only woe as a matter of doom and of judgment, but it can be woe as look out, something is going to happen in Ethiopia. You know, this is not the message of judgment for Ethiopia. This is the message of mercy and compassion for Ethiopia when you look at the context. And in order to understand God's word, you must look at the context. What comes afterwards? Ethiopia is a Greek word. It means the people whose faces have been sunburnt. The Hebrew word is Cush. That means the darkened people. The word Abyssinia comes from the word Habesha, which is originally an Arabic word, and that means the ancient people. And there are so many references in the Word of God concerning Ethiopia, but none like in Isaiah chapter 18. My friends, remember your history. Discover your destiny. Because Ethiopia has an appointment with destiny. So here's an appeal for attention. The land of shadowing wings. You know, there are still in ancient Egypt, the symbol of Ethiopia was a disc with wings. It was a symbol in ancient Egypt of the sovereignty of Ethiopia. Whether this wings refers to birds or to insects, we're not sure. But one thing we do know is that there are so many birds in Ethiopia. In fact, Ethiopia has got more endemic birds, that is, birds you will only find in Ethiopia, than anywhere else in the whole continent of Africa. And they are beautiful birds. That's why people from Britain go out to Ethiopia, not just to look at the history of Ethiopia, but to look at the birds of Ethiopia. It speaks about a land which the rivers have divided. Now, many Westerners, they are so ignorant, aren't they? All they know about of Ethiopia is famine and poverty and hunger and disease and disaster. That's all they know. You ask them. But you know that Ethiopia is a land of rivers? You've got the source of the Blue Nile in Ethiopia. You've got the Tekazi River in Ethiopia. You've got the Omo River in Ethiopia. You've got the Wabi Shebeli River in Ethiopia. There are so many rivers. There are so many lakes. Look at Lake Tana. Look at Haika, such a beautiful little lake. Look at all the lakes down in the south. Awassa, Langano, and all these beautiful lakes there. You see, the more you look into this, the more you realize this can only be Ethiopia. It's not Egypt. It's not Sudan. It's not any other country in Africa. What happens here in verse 2 is, you know, the understanding from the scripture is this. Ethiopia is in danger. So Ethiopia sends ambassadors to Israel. And you know, for thousands of years, Ethiopia has been linked with Israel right up to the present time. Ethiopia was the only country in the world during the time of Haile Selassie where every soldier of Ethiopia had what we would call the Star of David on his badge, but the Ethiopians would call the Star of Solomon. You go to the churches of Lalibela, you go to the churches on Lake Tana, you go to the churches of Aksum, and what do you see again and again? The Star of David. The Star of Solomon. And then it says here, a people who from the beginning are terrible, a people who are scattered and polished. Look at Ethiopia's history from time immemorial. The only country in Africa which wasn't colonized. When there was a scramble for Africa in the 18th and the 19th century, you know, the British were there and the Portuguese were there and the French were there and everybody was there. But they didn't take Ethiopia. Last year, my wife went to Windsor Castle for the first time in our lives. We looked around the chapel of the kings and the queens in Windsor Castle. And suddenly I stood before a cross. It was a very special cross. It was an Ethiopian cross. Here lies buried Prince Aramayo, age 21, the son of Emperor Theodorus. Yes, the British were in Ethiopia. At Magdala in 1668. But you know, it's amazing in the history of the British Empire. Because as far as I know, in the history of the British Empire, it was the only country we invaded, and it was the only country at that time where we didn't conquer. We went back home again. Because at that time, when the British invaded, they put up the British flag, and they were there to stay. But not Ethiopia. Is there some divine purpose behind this, or is this just some amazing political accident or coincidence? I believe in the divine purposes of God. Look at the color of your skin. It's beautiful, isn't it? The men are handsome, the women are beautiful. Look at your customs and your culture. I always feel at home in Ethiopia. Do you know, I never feel lonely in Ethiopia. I feel lonely sometimes in England, but never in Ethiopia. Because in Ethiopia, you see, there isn't a generation gap. Even the children will talk to you. They will play with you. Everybody will talk with you, invite you to their homes. I feel so relaxed, tej out, you know, in Ethiopia. That's why, you see, my wife has a great problem with me. And the problem is keeping me at home. You see, I'm going to Ethiopia. This is going to be my third visit this year. I went with her in January. I was there during Kelemt, the rainy season. And God willing, tomorrow evening, I'll be flying off to Ethiopia again. I can't help it. It's not only a human feeling for Ethiopia. It's not only a sympathy and a love for this country. I believe it's God-given. I know your faults. You're no better than anybody else. You're not superior to anybody else. You have your mistakes. You have your weaknesses in character. But this is something which God has given me for this country. Look at verse 3. It says here, all the inhabitants of the world and dwellers on the earth see when an ensign is on the mountains and when he blows a trumpet. You see, the future of Ethiopia is, as we approach the 21st century, something is going to happen. Something of great importance. Something which the whole world is going to see. Now, it's possible for the whole world to see what happens because we've got satellite, we've got television, we've got the news media. The whole world saw what happened in Ethiopia in the 1980s when there was such a devastating famine, the worst famine of the 20th century. And the whole world responded, didn't they? When Operation Solomon took place, within 33 hours and 33 planes rescued nearly 15,000 Jews, and nothing went wrong. There were no accidents, no planes crashed. And the EPRDF was at the gates of Addis Ababa. Communism had collapsed. Mengistu had flown in a haste to Harare. On the streets of Addis at that time, there was chaos and confusion. And all the Jews left safely. The whole world, especially the Jewish world, said, "This is God. This is a miracle." You see, as I understand this scripture, something is going to happen to Ethiopia. Now, I'm not a prophet. I'm not a prophet. And neither am I the son of the prophet. And I don't know what's going to happen. But it's going to create world attention. And it's going to be on the mountains. That's why I say this can only be Ethiopia. Because Sudan has hardly any mountains. And so does Egypt. But Ethiopia, why? It's the roof of Africa. It's got the third highest mountains in Africa. Ras Dashen, Abuna Yosef, the Bali Mountains. You see, as I've talked with some Jewish friends of mine and some Christian friends of mine trying to understand the meaning of this and waiting upon the Lord, the meaning is Ethiopia is going to be attacked. Something is going to happen to Ethiopia. Ethiopia is going to be in great danger. It could both be external and internal. I don't know what that is. But you see, we all know that we're living in the times of the coming of the Lord. We all know that we're living in both exciting times and perilous times. We all know that we're living in the times when God is going to judge this world because of the sin and the iniquity which is rampant. Also, the Lord is working with the gospel. We know that. Something's going to happen in Israel. And something's going to happen in Ethiopia. What is this sign? Is it a banner? Because that's the Hebrew word, a banner. Well, if you go to the churches of Ethiopia, especially the Orthodox churches, they've got plenty of banners and umbrellas. It speaks about trumpets. If you know anything about Timkat, they're blowing trumpets all day during the ceremony of Timkat, aren't they? Is this sign the gospel? Is it the Ark of the Covenant? Is it God moving in a special way? I don't know. But it's going to create world attention, world focus. And then in verse 4, it says the Lord is watching and waiting. It says the Lord is in his dwelling place,
in His Holy of Holies. It speaks about the harvest. You know, what the picture here is, and we're speaking about very pictorial Hebrew language, is there's going to be an attack on Ethiopia, either external or internal, or both. There's going to be a great danger for Ethiopia and the Ethiopian people, something which they've never known before in their history. And it's like the growing of the grain, the growing of the fruit, until the harvest is ripened. And many people are going to say, God, where are you? God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, why didn't you do something? But verse 4 is saying, it may take the Ethiopians by surprise and the rest of the world, but it's not going to take me by surprise, because I'm watching from heaven. I've got my eyes upon this land. I've got my eyes upon this people. And I will intervene at the right time, just as the harvest comes to its ripeness and to its fullness. You see, what this verse is saying is that the Lord is sovereign in every situation. He's in complete control. Verses 5 and 6 are actually a description, a very vivid, poetic description, but real, of the destruction of this enemy which wants to destroy Ethiopia. Now I repeat, I don't know what this enemy is. It may be Islam. And I say this very, very carefully and guardedly, because there are many Muslims in Ethiopia, and we as Christians should respect other people's religious beliefs. We should never look down on anybody's religious beliefs. And many of the Muslims in Ethiopia, they are very good people, they are very sincere people, and they love and are loyal to their country. But since the fall of communism, out of the sands of the Middle East, there has arisen a militant Islam, a destructive Islam, an Islam of the sword. And both Libya and Iraq have openly said, Ethiopia is an island in the sea of Christianity which can no longer be tolerated. It may be Islam. And you know, there's a dangerous influence of extreme. Now, I'm speaking about extreme Islam here. I'm not speaking about against the Muslim people, but I'm speaking about extreme militant Islam, which is gaining economic power and strength in Ethiopia, which is building mosques all over the country, and which is creating economic conversions. You know as well as I do that many Ethiopians are converting to Islam, especially the women, because of economic survival. It may be Islam. I think it's going to be a combination of Islam and something else. You see, what I'm telling you is not new. Those of you who know anything about Ethiopia and the prophets of Ethiopia, you've heard similar prophecies, haven't you? That a danger is coming upon Ethiopia, that a darkness is coming upon Ethiopia. Now, I believe God is being very careful about this. He's not being specific to make us afraid, but to prepare us to pray for Ethiopia. And not to give up. You see, God's intervention, and this is the description of the destruction of the enemy, whatever that enemy is. It may be ethnic, tribal. Their destruction will be sudden and surprising. I said Ethiopia has 3,000 years of history, but so many people have tried to conquer Ethiopia, haven't they? You know, you can look at Israel and you can look at Ethiopia, and you can see two amazing comparisons. The amazing, miraculous survival of the Jewish people. The amazing, miraculous survival of Ethiopia as an independent country and their culture. I believe it's for a purpose. In the 15th and 16th century, Mohammed Grania and the Muslims tried to overrule and destroy Ethiopia. And if it hadn't been for a Christian leader called Philip de Gama and his Portuguese soldiers, Ethiopia would have been destroyed. But God intervened. In the 1870s, the Mahdi's and the Sudanese invaded Ethiopia. They wanted to destroy it as well. They wanted to make Ethiopia a Muslim kingdom. But if it hadn't been for Emperor Yohannes, who bravely and courageously, even to the point of death, defended Ethiopia and repelled the Muslim invasion. In 1935, the Italians invaded. They wanted Ethiopia as a colony. For 5 years they ruled and reigned in Ethiopia. But that was all. That was all. In 1971 until 1991, Ethiopia was very nearly destroyed through communism, terror and tyranny, famine and fighting. You know what the political commentators said about Ethiopia during the time of famine? The country God has forsaken and forgotten. How wrong they were. Oh yes, there was such poverty. And I don't think there's a family in Ethiopia, and there's probably not a family here, where you didn't lose somebody. A brother or sister, or a mother or father. During that time, there were many tears in Ethiopia. In fact, you came to the point where you could cry no more. But where is communism now? It's finished. It's collapsed. And so when we move on to verse 7, something amazing happens. After the destruction of the enemy, after the very great danger and darkness which comes to Ethiopia, and the Lord just waits and watches for the right moment and the right time of intervention. Because God wants not the name of Ethiopia to be glorified. He doesn't want the Ethiopian to be proud in what they've done and what they've achieved. But God wants His name to be glorified amongst the people of Ethiopia. It says here, the name of the Lord of hosts, from this people who are terrible, from this people who are polished, from this people who are unique, they are going to bring a presence to the Lord in Jerusalem. Now I believe here there is a spiritual application and there's a literal application. Because right in the history of Ethiopia, Ethiopia has always been going up to Jerusalem. From the time of the Queen of Sheba, from the time of Abed-Melech, that Ethiopian in the palace of one of the Judean kings who rescued the prophet Jeremiah, from the time of the Ethiopian eunuch, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, from the time there's been an Ethiopian church in Jerusalem, Ethiopians are always going up to Jerusalem. Long before the British went up there. You know how it is that every Ethiopian wants to at least visit Jerusalem, and not only visit Jerusalem, they want to die there as well. They want to be buried there. It says a sign and a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts. You know, this is the future of Ethiopia. Ethiopia is not going to be divided. Ethiopia is not going to be destroyed. Ethiopia is not going to be a Muslim power or any other power. Ethiopia is going to worship the Lord. Ethiopia is going to be a Christian country. Ethiopia is going to reach out its hands to God. What is the prayer that every Ethiopian says in the greatest manger of in the greatest moment of danger? Ye Israel Amlak. I don't know any other people who say that. We British, we don't say it. The Americans don't say it. But the Ethiopians do. The God of Israel, the Lord of hosts. Do you know, this word, and I see the clocks racing, and I'm not allowed to have Habesha Kithru, so I've been told I've got to finish punctually, so I'm going to have to finish these last few minutes. You know, this word, the Lord of hosts, is the Lord of heaven's armies, who intervenes for his covenant people, Israel, and for his covenant people, Ethiopia. And God is doing a unique thing in Ethiopia. God is doing a unique thing in the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. For the first time in history, you know, for hundreds of years, the Bible was a closed book in the Orthodox Church. It was in Guise. Only the priests could understand it. The ordinary people couldn't. During the time of the communism, it was a forbidden book. The Bible wasn't allowed to be distributed. But now, thank God, since this new government, there is freedom for the gospel in Ethiopia. And I know from the patriarch to all the bishops, they want the Bible in every heart and in every home, and I'm very much involved in this. And that's why I've been invited both in Eritrea and Ethiopia. And incidentally, although I'm speaking about Ethiopia, I'm including Eritrea in this. Because the customs, the beliefs, the history, and the future of Eritrea and Ethiopia, they are joined together. You can't divide it. There's a unique movement of the Holy Spirit in the whole of Africa which is taking place in Ethiopia. And it's not instigated by the missionaries. Thank God for what the missionaries have done in Ethiopia. For their education, for their medicine, for their schooling. But you know that this movement of the Holy Spirit, which is filling the churches in their thousands all over Ethiopia, it didn't come from America, it didn't come from Toronto, it didn't come from England, it came from heaven. Ethiopia is stretching out her hands to God. And the future of Ethiopia is going to be a real connection with Israel when Israel believes in the Lord. And the Bible says that as well. They'll recognize their Messiah. There is a future. So I must finish quickly, and I just want to tell you what you have to do. Action now, Ahun. Pray for Ethiopia. But when you pray, pray according to the Word of God, not according to your own imagination. So use the scriptures. Psalm 68, verse 31. Ethiopia shall stretch out her hands to God. Isaiah chapter 18. Use these scriptures, verse 7, that from Ethiopia, from this great nation and this great people, a present, a sign will be brought to the Lord in Zion. That's spiritual and that's literal. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 10. From besides the rivers of Ethiopia, my worshippers, my scattered people, shall bring me offerings. I remember right in the heart of the communist movement in Ethiopia, when communism was ruling and prevailing and people were in such fear and terror, I went to Madana Alam Sidis Kilo Church. I just stood there and looked up. I don't know if you know this church. It's a beautiful one, a beautiful paintings of the coming of Christ. And I was just looking up and gazing there. And I said, Lord, what's happening to Ethiopia? Lord, why are you allowing this to happen? And then I noticed a young lady came in. Well, I think she was a young girl, maybe 12, 13 years of age. She didn't see me. She went up to the altar, or near the altar. Of course, they're not allowed to go into the holy place, but near the altar. And just like the Jews, like Moses and Joshua, you have to take your shoes off in an Ethiopian church. And as you know, the practice in Ethiopia is not only do you kneel before God, you lie prostrate on your face towards Him. And I saw this girl flat on her face, weeping. I didn't understand what she was praying. But as I saw it, I knew that's the Spirit of God in the Ethiopians. Ethiopia will not be destroyed. There is a future for Ethiopia. Another thing I want to urge and remind you is pray for your government. I'm not getting political here, but that's what the Scripture says. Whether you agree or whether you disagree. And it doesn't matter what tribe you come from. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4, pray for your leaders, pray for those in government, pray for those who rule over you. We would see much more action and much more intervention if we really prayed for our leaders and for our government. 3, pray for the peace and toleration amongst the ethnic peoples in Ethiopia. I know this is a problem. Before, people used to say, I'm an Ethiopian. Sadly to say, they say, well, I'm Tigray, I'm Amhara, I'm Garagi, I'm Adari. It's dividing Ethiopia, isn't it? But you see, man builds barriers because he's afraid, but God builds bridges because he loves us. So what are you going to do? Are you going to build a barrier through your tribal ethnicity, or because you're a Christian and God loves you, you're going to build a bridge? Pray for the freedom of the gospel. Do you know, in all the history of Ethiopia, there's never been such a freedom to distribute the Bible. I've never seen churches so full. I wish I could see this in Britain. I wish I could see it in Europe. Where thousands of people are coming to the Lord in Ethiopia. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Number 5, support Ethiopia. Some of you need to go back and visit your family and friends. Some of you are quite well off here. But what about your family in Ethiopia? Now I know many of you are helping them. But sometimes if there's a... I just want to tell you that God has plans in my life. I wanted to be in Ethiopia because I know there is a future for Ethiopia and the Ethiopian people, and His name is going to be glorified there. Let's just bow our heads in prayer, shall we? We have to leave now. Let's go home quietly. Let's go home prayerfully. Let each one of us go home saying, God, what do you want me to do? Show me your will and your way for the country and the people of Ethiopia according to His mercy. which endures forever. Amen. I'm sorry, we have to leave because time is gone. So I think we have to leave rather quickly. But remember what God has said to you, not what I've said. Remember what God has said to you about your nation, your people, your country. And remember to be a partner in God's prophetic program for Ethiopia.